KPFK program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, we have a great show planned for you today. We're going to start out during the first half hour with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini for Science for Humans. We're going to talk about the state of bodybuilding, where it started, where it is today, and where it really needs to be in the future. You notice I'm sporting my Carbolin Addict shirt today in honor of Dr. J. Then at 12:30, we're going to be joined by a guy who is really becoming very popular because of his scientific opinions, and that's Dr. Chris Masterjohn. We're going to get into his beautiful mind today. Chris has been on the show before for many, many years, quite frankly, and a lot of his recent opinions are really changing the way people think about energy, nutrition, supplementation, and more. So that is a little bit later in the show at 12:30, so stay tuned for that.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
Hey, Dr. J, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Carl. How about you?
Fantastic, fantastic. It's exciting to have you here. You and I, we love to talk about the stuff that we're about to talk about because we're really good at pontificating. We're both Italian.
That's right.
We invented that stuff. And really, you have a valid opinion when we talk about this because you became a bodybuilder, a professional bodybuilder, someone who made a living at bodybuilding, a very, very small percentage of a very, very small niche sport. But you were attracted to bodybuilding for a certain reason. And when you look at why you were attracted to bodybuilding, when you look at what bodybuilding became even during your tenure, and now you look at what bodybuilding is today, you have to have some dramatic opinions, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the whole reason why I got into bodybuilding was, you know, when I discontinued to play football because of injury, I loved weight training. I love how you could change your physique. And I admired, you know, the Frank Zanes, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Jack LaLanes, the Steve Reed.
We just lost your mic. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
you. Oh, you're back. You're back. Okay, go ahead. The Steve Reeves, the Frank Zanes. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Your mic is gone again. I can't believe this. Now it's
I'm
back.
I'm actually going.
Now it's back.
All right.
Okay, go ahead. Move the mic again.
Yeah, I'm going.
It seems to be fading in and out for some reason. I don't understand what's going on. This is frustrating.
Huh.
Oh, it's back. Go ahead. Let's take advantage of it. It seems like if you get too close to it, it fades out or something. No, that's not it. I have no idea what's going on now. This is Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually. All right. We good?
Yeah.
All right. So I won't move. I won't touch.
Technology.
Is they wanted to be healthy. They wanted to look muscular. They wanted to look like Hercules, you know, back then for the people who know Hercules, He-Man. And I think that's the way the sport went. You know, obviously people started to get a little bit bigger, but everything was in proportion because back. And present your physique, but you couldn't have, you know, like Tom Platz. I mean, he never won the Mr. Olympia because his legs were too big, you know? So again.
Yeah, he was basically very out of proportion because his legs were so dominant. And today we had Branch Warren, who was very much like that. Branch Warren's legs were huge, and he had to bring his upper body up before he could actually be a good competitor.
started, and I think that each got sand kicked in his face, and you could order through the magazine a weight training plan, you know, to help you put on muscle. I can't remember what the whole thing was, but.
That was an interesting ad in the back of many comic books when we were kids. And a lot of kids found bodybuilding because of their own insecurities for whatever reason. In fact, I talked about this not too long ago on the show. I had Porter Cottrell on a show in early 2006 because he lives here in Louisville. And so I had him on the show. Am I too loud, Dr. J?
No, you're good. Okay. I was just trying to make sure I was talking loud enough.
Yeah, no, you're fine. I had Porter Cottrell on the show, and I started to ask him questions about why he became a bodybuilder. And what I found out was that he had great insecurities. He was very small. He was insecure because he had flat feet, and he walked funny, and kids made fun of him. And somewhere along the line, he found bodybuilding. And bodybuilding was his way of getting out of those insecurities and correcting those insecurities. Did you have any insecurities when you were young that led you to bodybuilding, you think?
No, I think I just really enjoyed weight training. So you know, I played college football, and one of the kids, then, you know, reading Arnold's books and things. And I thought, yeah, what the heck? So a couple guys at the gym, you know, gave me some advice, and I went on some kind of diet. Any insecurities, I think, you know, being an athlete my whole life, you know, you got to be confident in what you do.
So when you looked to bodybuilding, it was actually a healthy sport. It was actually promoted as something that could improve health. In fact, both Dan Lurie and Elaine LaLanne, Jack LaLanne's widow, have been on my show. And Jack found physical culture, what became bodybuilding, because he was a very, very overweight, unhealthy kid. And his mother took him to a Paul Bragg seminar in California. Everybody remembers Paul Bragg was one of the forerunners of the healthy diet approach. And Paul said to Jack LaLanne, after hearing what the kid ate, he said, you're basically a garbage pail. You eat garbage, so you're a garbage pail. And that statement had a big impact on Jack. Mm. It made him look at his diet differently. And when he started to observe and understand diet from what Paul Bragg was talking about, he found physical culture as the other side of the coin. Diet was one side of the coin, but physical culture was the other side of the coin. They both work hand in hand. Jack, like so many people back then, Gironda, Armin Tanney, they all found bodybuilding because it was a gangplank to a healthier, longer life. It's anything but that today, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when I was back in Ohio bodybuilding, again, you know, people went on a diet and then you ate whatever you want. You know, you got big, kind of a powerlifting diet. It wasn't until I moved out to Gold's Gym, you know, where I got in the likes of, you know, the Tom Platzes, the Frank Zanes, the Samir Banuts, that I started to learn about, hey, this is more of a lifestyle. They taught me that bodybuilding is the only sport that doesn't have an
Wait, repeat that, Dr. J. You dropped out. It doesn't have a what? An off season. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Off season. Where I just, you know, that you needed to look good, eat right, and basically be on a diet all the time. So that, I think that's kind of where things were. But like anything, you know, people started to push the boundaries. If you remember, Cool Run, get a little bit more muscular, but within line, And it wasn't about till, I think, who was right after Lee Haney from England.
Oh, you mean Dorian Yates.
Dorian. I think Dorian was the first one that started to push it. Now, all of a sudden, they're going, okay, we're now going to consider the Dorian Yates look more aesthetic than the Frank Zane. And now, all of a sudden, bigger guys are...
But wait, but I want to ask you a question about this. So some people say that bodybuilding judging is to blame for this phenomenon. And other people say bodybuilding fans are to blame for this phenomenon. Do the judges have any role in this, or do the judges just follow what the fans like in bodybuilders?
Bigger days of the Frank Zane days, a smaller guy had an opportunity to compete against the big guy because it wasn't about how tall or how big or how much muscle you had. It was an overall look. So the judges allowing this new look, obviously the fans now become attracted and people now think,
interesting.
Dictate the sport. That's terrible. You should be serving the fans. But think of the NFL, or the NBA. If they let the fans dictate the rules, gosh, it would be out of control.
Yeah. And that's how I kind of feel about it, too, to be honest with you. I know that the judges set the stage, no pun intended, for what is an acceptable look in bodybuilding today. But I kind of feel like the judges of following the fans, and the fans love the freaks. And that's a big problem today.
The fall is from referee to referee, but when you go to bodybuilding, it is so inconsistent. You can come to Montana and they tell you, oh, we don't want you very big, we want you a little less. Come into play. Freakier. Even win, or even make it to that level.
Yeah. And this is part of the problem right now, too, we see with bodybuilding, because we now see the, as you pointed out before the show started to me, we now see the new divisions being created. And
yeah.
The idea between these new divisions is to actually create opportunities for more acceptable, more normal, for lack of better terms, more sustainable physiques. But now we're seeing even those categories getting bigger and bigger and more muscular. For instance, in the women's category, they did away with female bodybuilding because they felt that the female bodybuilding became an aberration of the sport. It was just the women were just too big, too muscular. And so they introduced female physique. But now the female physique athletes are starting to look like the female bodybuilders.
Yeah. Entertainment like professional wrestling to keep their interest. So what did they do? Paintable. Is they're supposed to be just soft gals with nice figures. Now that's starting to get too muscular. What's going
to. Right.
classic.
Hey, Dr. J, we're going to take a break, and what I want you to do during the break is disconnect and reconnect to our video, because I think we're having some of the same bandwidth issues, intermittent bandwidth issues that we used to have when we used Skype to bring you into the studio. So let's do this. Take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with a better Dr. J. Stay tuned. How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Alaskans agree that Sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today. Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Crealkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
My Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
If you followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime, and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Live On Labs. You too can benefit from Live On Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Live On Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Rescue when I pull up a stool, roll the young star, give it a beat.
Welcome back. Okay. So we're talking about the state of bodybuilding. In about 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Dr. Chris Masterjohn to talk about whatever is on his beautiful mind, and there's always a lot to talk to him about that. So where is bodybuilding going to go? If we continue to create these new categories but just push them to look like the old categories that they were replacing, and we keep patronizing the freakishly large, hypermuscular physique that requires lots of drugs and lots of extremes that is not attainable and not sustainable by the majority of athletes, when does it change? How does it change? Where does it go?
I think it's going to die. I mean, I think you're going to see athletes getting into CrossFit, and they'll be different.
It's really sad. It's really, yeah, really sad. I mean, it's got to kill you. Now, a lot of people are going to say, oh, you're just an older bodybuilder. Everybody says this about the new generation of bodybuilders. How much of this is just the fact that what you remember? It's like, we think about the old neighborhood, but then when we actually go back to the old neighborhood, right, we go, it's not the old neighborhood anymore. How much of this is just you reminiscing, and how much of this is really valid frustration that the sport is really going down a rabbit hole right now?
Well, look at the attendance. I mean, bodybuilding shows no longer can make money and survive. Even like the FitX, we just have expos. If the Olympia didn't have the expo, they wouldn't make any money.
True.
True. Sponsors. You don't see Nike or Reebok sponsoring this. Okay, you see Amazon because of the fact that all the sports supplements are being sold on Amazon.
So.
No. I mean, what? The big physiques. I mean, I think it's great. Healthy. And what we are asking people to do in order to look like that, again, it has to be changed. NFL, they made rules because people were getting hurt. So they adapted rules. They put new things in to eliminate that. That's what has to happen with bodybuilding. You know, these guys with the big guts and the women that look like guys, it's not healthy. They're going to die. I mean, they're going to have issues. So we got to get it under control.
What do you put any of this in the lap of people like Jim Mannion, who runs the NPC, which is obviously the feeder to the IFBB?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you got to go to the top, I mean, he dictates what is going on. Now, obviously everything is a money making thing. But yeah, you got to, several years ago, they tried to drug test the Mr. Olympia, and all of the athletes came in.
You dropped out there. They all came in positive, you said?
Back from the fan.
They
did a drug-free Mr. Olympia several years ago.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And, they should have kept with that. I mean, every other sport, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, are all drugged. Why isn't bodybuilding drug tested? Why don't they maintain what every other venue has done? That's my question.
Yeah.
I mean, that would eliminate the issues. And, again, if you want to have a super freak division where people kill themselves, that's great. But people don't want to come and watch that, because in bodybuilding, people come to watch because they want to be like that person. No longer can they be like that person.
The reality is that most bodybuilding shows, as you point out, it's the expo that makes the money.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is that even the advertisers or the sponsors that buy expo spots, they are dwindling too, because they're seeing, they go to a Mr. Olympia and that could cost the company $30,000, $40,000. They don't see a return on that investment at all.
No. And look at the Arnold, they included so many different sports because the.
Right.
You do at the Olympics.
Yeah.
They're not. But when you go to the bodybuilding show, they're in a little venue. I don't know.
Yeah, they have they have fencing, they have equestrian, they have gymnastics, they have all these other events that attract large numbers of people, much larger than the bodybuilding event. But even though that, the bodybuilding event is held up as the crown jewel of the whole thing, but that's a farce. It's not really the crown jewel.
Well, it is. But what are you seeing publicized? You're seeing the strongman. You're seeing some of the other events. Why isn't
Right.
First of all, it's not judged fairly, and it's not something that you want your kids watching. Good gosh, them women, you know, running around with scants sticking their butts out. I mean, what kind of sport is that? You know? Yeah.
No, I know. It's and I don't, and like you said, I don't see it changing unless something drastic comes into the world of bodybuilding, and I don't think it's going to, quite frankly. Unless something drastic comes into the world of bodybuilding that makes it more mainstream acceptable, where athletes can actually make a decent living being athletes, I don't see it changing much at all. I mean, you're saying it's going to go away. I don't think it's going to go away. I think it's going to stay this subculture forever.
It's going to be an underground. I mean, look at some of the videos you're posting with the guys now that are so inflated with all the oil. I mean, that's where it's going to. It's everybody wants to become a freak. You're going to see it at the carnival. That's where you're going to come and watch bodybuilding.
Interesting. That's really, really interesting. Wow. Hey, Dr. J, don't you have a Christmas in July going on right now?
Oh, yeah, baby. Tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Got to go to Dr. Jeff Galini's Facebook page and watch me live. But that's 6 o'clock California, 9 o'clock Eastern or New York time. And go from 7 to 7:20. Christmas in July, going to be giving away thousands of dollars of EFX sports supplements and gear, and it's absolutely free.
That's awesome. And this is actually happening now again every month, or are you still just picking months here and there?
No, it's been every month. So
every single month people can get free stuff from All-American EFX and All-American Pharmaceutical.
And they get a boatload. I mean, most of the people will get like a year's supply of stuff. So, I mean, it's a lot of product.
We have Dr. Chris Masterjohn in our green room, in our virtual green room here, waiting to come on the air. So what we're going to do is we're going to say thank you to Dr. Jeff Galini. Sorry for the technical difficulties we had with bandwidth, but we got him back on and we addressed the topic thoroughly. We will see you next week, Dr. J.
Yeah, take care, everybody.
And then I am going to just take one quick commercial break. And when I come back, I'll be joined by Dr. Chris Masterjohn, and we will get to explore his beautiful mind. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
In today's world, what would you give to have that ultimate edge, to always function at the highest possible level? That's exactly what the Da Vinci from Ultra Human gives you. Just one tablet a day increases focus, lowers anxiety, enhances social fluency, and improves your mood and drive. It's 8 hours strong with no crash. A sharp mind is priceless, and the Da Vinci even comes with a money-back guarantee. Find out more at the Ultra Human. ultrahuman.net. Make your brain 25 again with the Da Vinci from the ultrahuman.net. Use discount code SHR10 for 10% off and free shipping.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Ketocana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Ketocana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketocana banner ad today.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's Extra Virgin Olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. You know, gosh, it must have been about 6 years ago, maybe seven. I was looking for somebody to come on the show and talk about vitamin A, real vitamin A, activated vitamin A. Couldn't find anybody. Sally Fallon over at Weston A. Price Foundation said, you got to talk to this Chris Masterjohn. In fact, I think this was before you actually had your PhD. You were just Chris Masterjohn at that time.
Probably.
Okay. And so I read your article on vitamin A and I thought, who is this guy? I mean, I loved the way your logic worked. I loved the way you presented things. You are a true scientist. And I'll tell you why I say this. You change your position as you learn new things. I've never seen you become altercative or dig your heels into to protect your opinion. You give people room to have their opinions. You're never insulting. You're the hallmark of what a true scientist is and should be in a world today of people who call themselves scientists, but they are actually evangelical scientists. You know, they protect their own fiefdom at all costs. No, I'm right. I'm telling you, you're wrong. I have a lot of respect for you because of the demeanor in which you present the information that you present. I just wanted to tell you that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. You know, I think that it's there's really kind of two classes of maybe three. But there's, I think what you see is a lot of the people who get altercative What you don't see is that a lot of the people who think like true scientists are too timid to present anything, and they shy away from going outside of their own laboratory, and so you never hear from them. So actually, science is full of a lot of people who are very objective, very balanced, really just searching for the truth, not out there to fight, but they're not out there at all. So you don't even see those people. So I think, you know, I just happen to have a unique combination of being pretty level-headed, or at least trying to be, but also having enough of an ego to want to be the center of attention sometimes, so I put my stuff out there.
Interesting. Yes, because I was going to say, you're right, because most scientists, they avoid the limelight at all costs. In fact, a lot of scientists I find become – I've interviewed, I don't know how many hundreds of scientists who came on my show and said in so many words that they disagreed with the press release that was written by the communications department at the university that ultimately got them the exposure. And they felt compelled to say that wasn't really the salient information that we learned. This is, but the communications department says, hey, you want to be a tree falling in the forest, or you want people to pay attention? We need to do a little clickbait stuff here.
Yeah, I mean, that's division of labor. It doesn't really make sense to have an academic scientist as the head of marketing.
Yeah.
If you want people to find the science, you know.
Yeah. So it is what it is. Originally, I had an agenda that I wanted to talk about one thing. But then after going to your website, chrismasterjohnphd.com, which everybody should go, you have your own podcast now. You have a fantastic blog. I kind of focused on a couple things that I thought we would start out with. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was your opinion of the American Heart Association's assessment of coconut oil recently. That seemed to really bring a lot of people. And you know, and the reality is the American Heart Association is not excluded from this clickbait thing here, right? They're like, hey, coconut oil is really popular. Let's write about it, right?
No, this is a perfect example of what you're talking about before. Because if you read the American Heart Association paper, it doesn't sound like clickbait at all. And in fact, there's only one small section that's on coconut oil. And it comes across as incredibly balanced. I happen to know enough about the background science to see where it's not balanced. But if I hadn't spent years studying the various studies that they were talking about, I would have read that and said, you know, this is a great piece of work, super balanced. They're just trying to be objective and so on. But it's no coincidence that the press hopped on to the one section in the paper that was about coconut oil. And I doubt that the people who wrote the paper didn't know that that was going to happen. In fact, if you read the section about coconut oil, it's the one part of the paper that actually comes across more about public opinion than science. So they start off lamenting the fact that 72% of Americans think coconut oil is a health food, and only 30-something percent of nutritionists do. And they say that this is a real serious gap that needs addressing. So I think they were extremely conscious of the fact that this paper wasn't about coconut oil, it wasn't about bashing anything, but that the press would hop on to that one little seed that they put in there for the purpose of generating dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of articles about how coconut oil is going to kill you. Coconut oil is as bad as beef. Doctors hate coconut oil. This is why coconut oil is not a health food, and so on. So I think that's a great example of one thing going into the scientific paper and a totally different thing going into the press releases. But, you know, I bet you anything that – I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but the way that I read that paper, I think that if they came on your show, they would have said, oh, we don't hate coconut oil. We don't hate – the American public who thinks that, but someone in there had some hand in writing that paper who just knew that that was the piece of information that the press was going to grab onto.
Right. Absolutely. Because they know coconut oil is a big thing in the public vernacular right now. Everybody's talking about coconut oil. You've got people putting coconut oil in their coffee. And so if you, you know, if you want to attract a large audience, write about something that that large audience is engaged and invested in. I just had this discussion with Elisa. But if you want to attract people, find something that everybody else says is good and find the reason to say it's bad. And then people go, oh, my God, I've got to read about that. And quite frankly, this has nothing to do with the scientists. It has everything to do with the media and the communications people who partake in this game. Because ultimately what they do is confuse the majority of Americans. And the majority of Americans don't know what is healthy. And I'm going to give you an example for a second. In the same week on the Dr. Oz show about 4 years ago, he both talked about beets in a good fashion and a bad fashion. Now, obviously, and the majority of Americans don't know that a sugar beet isn't a beet. They hear sugar beet. They think, oh, that's a beet, the beet that I eat with my salad. But unfortunately, when you say beets are good on Tuesday, and then you say, hey, stay away from beets on Thursday, your audience goes, I don't know which one is true. And this happens every day now in the media. We have like lemming.
Some of them do, but some of them forget by Thursday what happened on Tuesday.
And that is an unfortunate fact about humans. We do not pay attention to anything historically, and that is why we keep getting fooled, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, it's true, but I'm not really sure that there's a boogeyman that you can blame it on. I mean, I think really what you have is there's deeply rooted psychological traits that are just burned into our biology from our evolutionary history. And I don't think marketers really change human behavior. They just look at certain threads in human behavior that they want to enrich to get what they want out of it. So it's sort of like a microbiologist, you know, a biological terrorist is not going to invent anthrax. They're just going to create a medium where they can get a source of it and selectively enrich that thing, right? It's something that was in the environment already there. Right. So we have these traits where we come from a tribal history and it's natural for us to say, this is our group, that's their group. We need to, you know, believe these things about that group and they're different from us and we're better than them. And just part of group survival. And that's, you know, that's one of the traits that we have. We have other traits for altruism and compassion and all that stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're trying to sell something, you're going to look at that and say, well, which are the traits that are going to allow me to sell more things? And it's just sort of marketing science that when people get angry, they're more likely to share stuff. When people laugh, they're more likely to share stuff. And when things are cats, they're more likely to share stuff. So you take advantage of one of those things.
Right.
And you share yourself. Yeah.
Right. I want to take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want you to give the rebuttal that you wrote about in your blog post. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Chris Masterjohn.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today. Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish.
Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
If you've followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained fasted and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
It's gonna be some stuff you're gonna see that's gonna make it hard to smile in the future. But through whatever you see, through all the rain and the pain, you gotta keep your sense of humor.
Welcome back.
You gotta be able to smile.
Look at Dr. Master John's head bobbing. You like Tupac, huh?
That's not Tupac.
Yeah, the lyrics are.
Keep your head up.
Yeah, smile. Yeah, no, look at you. Well, you do teach at Brooklyn College, right?
What?
I said you do teach at Brooklyn College, right?
I did. I'm no longer in academia. I left effective December 31st.
Oh, okay. All right, so talk about your rebuttal. So give us the Reader's Digest version. What did you say about that article presented by the AHA?
So, look, in brief historical context, this is not really a paper about coconut oil. Coconut oil is the rebranding section of what is a reiteration of a half century of policy around saturated fat. And the historical context is that in the 1950s, there was very strong advocation from some scientists of the idea that high cholesterol causes heart disease and animal fats raise cholesterol levels and therefore they're going to give you heart disease. And eventually that turned into, first it was fat, then it was animal fat or saturated fat, et cetera. And in 1957, the American Heart Association said, look, you haven't done any controlled studies showing that these fats lead to heart disease. You've shown a correlation with cholesterol. You show cholesterol levels correlate with heart disease. You're not showing any cause and effect relationship. And what you need is a clinical trial to show that. And then in 1961, 4 years later, they totally reversed course and said people at risk of heart disease should replace saturated fat with polyunsaturated fat in their diet. And literally nothing changed in the state of evidence between those two things. And so periodically since then, the American Heart Association has reiterated their basically the same position on saturated fat that they developed in 1961, which at that time was simply because, you know, there were changes in who was on the committee and who was writing the report. But between then and now, there has been a bunch of clinical trials that were done. And the problem has been that they don't really support the idea that you should replace saturated fat with polyunsaturated fat. So the, you know, the stance that the AHA took in 1957 was very conservative. The stance that they took in 1961, when there was a shift in who was on the committee, became very activist. And they ran their position ahead of the evidence. And then we wound up in a position where the evidence starts coming in. And the AHA is going to have egg on their face if they have to change course, because the longer it goes on and on and on, the longer they've been maintaining this position for decades. And of course they don't want to look, they don't want to, you know, come out and say, well, we were premature.
We were wrong.
Yeah, exactly. We were wrong.
We were wrong is not a term in the vernacular of most organizations that take up a disease cause. They never come out and go, we were wrong. We were wrong. They move on. They change their position. But they never say, oh, we were wrong for suggesting shock treatments to the mentally ill. You know, they never say that.
You know, moving on is a great example of what has largely happened around polyunsaturated fats, although not in the case of the American Heart Association. So at that time, it was clear from experimental evidence that you could lower someone's cholesterol by replacing saturated fat with polyunsaturated fat in their diet. Then you had a series of trials that were done to try to show that that leads to protection against heart disease. And the longest trial that was ever done was the LA Veterans Administration Hospital study. And that study was also one of the best studies that was done because it was one of only two double-blind studies. The only other double-blind study only lasted about a year, and this lasted 8 years. So this is like the cream of the crop of these studies. And what they found was that on the one hand, as you switch the oils, there was a protective effect of heart disease that largely showed up in the early days. And then as you went on and on and on, as people got older and had been consuming the oils for longer, you started seeing cancer rise. Mm. And the cancer really started taking off after people had been eating the oils for 5 to 7 years. And then the trial stopped at 8 years. And so the authors themselves said that the question of whether you should prevent heart disease by replacing saturated fat with polyunsaturated fat remained unresolved, in part because of this unresolved question about whether the oils were toxic, because their evidence seemed to suggest that they can promote cancer. And so if you go back to what people were saying in the 1950s and even 60s, it was very popular at one point to recommend corn oil for your health.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember talking about this with my grandparents, and my grandparents were like, yeah, corn oil. They always told us to use corn oil. And if you look at mainstream science after that point, the advocation of corn oil certainly kind of falls off a cliff, but the advocation of polyunsaturated fat in general started to fall off a cliff, and it got replaced by monounsaturated fats as the good fat, right? So in the old days, they said saturated bad, polyunsaturated good. But then they got this big, long study that seemed to suggest that the polyunsaturates might cause cancer. And they didn't come out and say, no, that thing, that corn oil we told you to take, throw it in the trash. They just stopped advocating corn oil. And then you see this quiet emergence of olive oil as the new darling because it's high in monounsaturated fat. Now, I'm not saying olive oil isn't good or monounsaturated fat's not good. I'm just saying that if you look at history, it's a perfect example of not saying we were wrong and coming out and moving on in a way that just sweeps what was done before under the rug.
Yeah, and it, because they don't want to be held culpable. Because let's be honest, if I've said this a million times on my show over the past 12 years, Dr. Paul Dudley White, you know who he is, right?
Familiar.
He started the American Heart Association. He brought the electrocardiogram to the United States from Paris. He wrote a position paper in the 30s saying to stop using Crisco and lower the consumption of sugar because this was the reason for the rise in heart attacks. And at that time, he was saying return to animal fats, return to natural fats, stay away from corn oil, stay away from vegetable oils. No one paid attention to him. And so what happens is these organizations that make policy and make suggestions on policy, American Heart Association, I mean, you name it, you know, there's one for every disease state today, right? American Cancer Society. They're afraid. They never want to go, you know what? We were wrong. We actually may have shortened lives with our suggestions 50 years ago because we live in a litigious nation. People will come out and sue them. They will say, hey, you created policy, you told doctors, you told people, and you told them things that hurt them.
It's that. But it's also, I mean, first of all, none of us want to admit we were wrong. You know, like I have to try to be humble enough to do that. I do it. But it's, you know, it's something I work on. It's not just like my base instinct to admit whenever I'm wrong. But in, I think in the socio dynamics here, not only is there the potential for lawsuits, but the real threat is the funding is just going to dry up.
Yes.
Right? So DARE's been in the news recently and, you know, the DARE program kind of dried up or is drying up because there was a bunch of research showing that it wasn't stopping people from doing drugs. The AHA comes out and says, we were hurting people with the last 50 years of our recommendations. Why would people continue to donate money to them? Because, you know, you donate, like people are donating money to them because they see them as the leaders in, you know, they've gotten us this far. They're going to get us to the next step. And when you have a massive program that all this money is going to, and you come out and you just say, well, it's not only is it not effective, but it's been making things worse. That's a serious risk.
But who cares? They should. So I'm listening to you as a listener right now. And what's going through my mind is they should be put out of business or they should. Every organization out there that makes health policy suggestions should run the risk of being put out of business when they're found out to be wrong, because that is the checks and balances of life. If they are, because these organizations, they have deep ties to industry. They are influenced by industry. We found that out. We did a show a couple years ago about the soda industry influencing, you know, certain organizations' decisions on sugar policies. And so they should go out of business. They have failed to provide the service, job one, that they were supposed to. They should go out of business. I mean, really, I'm not being flippant or anything. I mean, that is how things work. When you lie, you get punished. When you make mistakes. So what would end up happening is these organizations moving forward. But wait, these organizations moving forward wouldn't say things in absolute terms. You know what I love about scientists? They very rarely say things in absolute terms because they know tomorrow a study could show that I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, this is a position paper. It's not an experimental paper.
No, I understand.
So it's, they're taking a position as a public health organization. And so that's a totally different ballgame in terms of how you couch your language. But you know, I think if you read this paper, like the authors of this paper came really strongly against sugar in that article. And yet, if you look at who's got the American Heart Association stamp of heart healthy, doesn't look like the American Heart Association is against sugar, right? So there's, you know, these, like the I think the scientists who wrote that paper, I think probably are good scientists, but they're probably negotiating what goes in that paper with other people in the AHA who have other priorities. And on top of that, the actual decision of who to give the stamp to on their cereal box is not primarily driven by the scientists. The scientists provide input. I mean, that's even clear with like the dietary guidelines, for example. The dietary guidelines from USDA and Department of Health and Human Services, they have a dietary guidelines committee of scientists that writes a report I forget the names of the committees. There's a scientific advisory committee that writes a report that the actual committee who writes the guidelines gets, and they take what they want from that report, and then, you know, there's further negotiations, and that's what comes out. So, you know, we can't know the inner workings and mechanics, but certainly something like this has many different interests competing, and the scientists are only playing part of that role.
Okay, I want to take our next commercial break. I want to change directions completely now. I want to talk about your blog post that states, did low-carb kill the Lakers? That's a fun one. So we're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Chris Masterjohn. Stay tuned.
Products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose liposphere. Vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Crealkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
Buy Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Satisfaction.
You know, 12 years ago, I wanted to reach out to scientists and ask them questions about problems I was having with my health. And this show actually became a way to get them to return my emails and, more importantly, for me to be able to interview them. And it's a privilege that I have every single day of the week. For the now going on 12 years to be able to have people like Dr. Chris Masterjohn on the show and talk about these kind of things, because these are the people. I did a show yesterday afternoon that will be released on iTunes and Patreon later this week with Ken O'Neill, called the Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio Show. And we interviewed Jonathan Salk, the son of Jonas Salk, the guy who invented the polio vaccine. And we talked about the fact that because of the internet, podcasts, and YouTube, for the first time ever, information dissemination is no longer controlled by large organizations. And shows like this one and people like Dr. Chris Masterjohn are fueling a grassroots movement. Because evolutionary selection pressures have changed to where you get your information from. Because based on where you get your information from, you'll make choices that will impact you and your family, their longevity, and their health. And 200 and 300 years from now, the people who will still be contributing to the gene pool will be what are considered the wisest. It's now survival of the wisest. Wisest is a dangerous term because everybody thinks they're wise. It really is survival of the people who are getting the right information. That is the new evolutionary selection pressure. And people like Dr. Chris Masterjohn are contributing to what will be 200 and 300 years from now, a better, healthier, stronger population. So I just want people to understand when we do these shows, it's not just entertainment. This is really good information. But now we're going to be entertaining a little bit. So you wrote a blog post recently asking if low carb killed the Lakers. Why did you write it, and what was the purpose?
It kind of came out of what I'm doing with my masterclass with Master John Energy Metabolism series. And so I'm doing a comprehensive course that if you can pop in the middle of it and watch some of the videos, but it would be way easier if you start from the beginning. It's, I just recorded the 28th video in it, and the Lakers video came after the 17th and 18th lessons. And I'm always looking at the biochemical details from the perspective of how can I make this relevant? So it's more interesting and more memorable and more practical. And so in the 17th and 18th videos, which came out the 2 days before the Lakers video, I looked at the biochemistry and physiology of energy utilization during exercise and sports. And the first lesson was on the biochemical principles. The second one was on the evidence. And that second one on the evidence was mostly looking at controlled trials of what happens when you replace carbohydrate with fat or protein to your sports performance. But it was an interesting historical example to tack on to the last 3 minutes of that video, this anecdote about what happened to the Lakers. And I was like, look, there's tons of people who would watch this video if I just made one that was shorter about the Lakers than who would watch my long energy metabolism videos. So I just wanted to throw it out there as a hook to get some people interested. And honestly, It did that. Like, there's lots of people who are watching my energy metabolism videos now that weren't before because that got them interested. So look, the situation is this. The science is super, super clear that glucose is absolutely essential for peak intensity under certain conditions. And really the only conditions where that doesn't apply is when you're doing something really intense that's only lasting a few seconds. So if you're doing a one rep max on a squat or a bench press or something like that, you're going to burn through your creatine supply. And if you rest 5 minutes and do it again, you're going to regenerate your creatine supply and you're not going to need to use that much glucose. But when you're in a basketball game, or even if you're doing something that's continuous running, if you're actually in a race where you're trying to compete with the other person, eventually, you know, like let's say two people are racing and it's a long race, so you're good at using aerobic metabolism where it's easy to burn fat. Well, if you're trying to race faster than the other person, then each of you is going to go a little bit faster until you're pushed into your anaerobic threshold where you're going to start burning glucose to get the extra edge for peak intensity. So in most cases, glucose is necessary for peak intensity. And I looked at a lot of controlled trials, and I think, you know, it hasn't been studied that well, but really all you can say for ketogenic diets or high fat diets in sports performance is that they don't hurt your endurance. But you can say that when you're defining endurance as pedal on this stationary bike until you can no longer pedal 60 revolutions per minute and you give up. Well, keto doesn't hurt that, right? But in a basketball game, there's studies of what happens to your physiology in basketball. And what happens is you have hundreds or thousands of movements, distinct movements, that each last 2 seconds. Like you run for 2 seconds, you jog for 2 seconds, you walk for 2 seconds, you jump for 2 seconds, you throw the ball for 2 seconds. And all of these are a mix of high, medium, and low intensity. And yeah, you might spend half the game off the court, but you're never spending enough off the court at one time to be fully regenerating your creatine supply once you blow through it in the first rounds of 6 2-second high intensity movements and you start burning glucose. And so if you look at basketball players' lactate levels, by halftime, they go to 5, 6, 7 times higher than what they are at the beginning of the game, and they stay pretty elevated to the end of the game. And that's because if they're doing competitive basketball, they're always tapping into glucose utilization to burn into lactate for quick fuel. And so look, the Lakers, in 2013, they went low carb. And a zillion other things happened, right? There were exchanges of players. Kobe Bryant got hurt and he was out. He played 6 games that year. Like, all kinds of stuff is going on. And I'll be the first to admit, I made this video having some expertise in biochemistry and physiology and have zero expertise in basketball. So you get anyone to debate me on the politics of the team and they'll slaughter me in an instant.
Right.
But I'm not saying that low carb had to be the one thing that made the performance crash, but the performance crash post 2013 is literally unprecedented. I drew a line of 40% of games won, and they had only dipped below that line on 3 occasions since 1948. And we're talking the whole history of the team.
Right.
Once in the history of the entire team did they ever fall below that line for 2 seasons in a row. And post-2013, they fell below that line for 4 seasons in a row. And what I'm saying is this. Look, there could be 3,000 other things that contribute to that dip in performance. But number one, it's not a dip. It's a binary, catastrophic devastation of their performance that never happened in their history. And number two, everything about science says that if you adapt a philosophy for a pro basketball team that has as its carbohydrate goal a maximum of 25%, which is how it was articulated in what I was able to find, instead of a minimum to get during your games or to replete glycogen or something like that, you would predict that it would devastate the performance. So it's a historical anecdote. It's not a scientific experiment, but it's an interesting way to look at
it. No, it is. And, you know, keto is all the rage today, obviously. And I jokingly said during an interview with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale the other day that if you opened up a car dealership and it was failing, you know, under the name, you know, under Chris Masterjohn Pontiac, just put Chris Masterjohn Keto ketogenic Pontiac, and because it'll, everybody is trying to leverage ketogenic. We have people. I've seen people on Facebook who their core business has nothing to do with diet, that are going keto and checking blood ketones and, hey, check in with me tomorrow. I'm going to check my blood ketones. It's like it's almost to the peak frenzy that paleo was before paleo just became sensible again. And so, you know, I know people who are really
there's people in the paleo world who think the paleo thing to do is just take exogenous ketones so you can put yourself into ketogenesis without diet.
Well, and then that you know, there is a place for ketone supplements. Treating brain cancer. There are places for ketone supplements.
No, I'm not saying there's not. I'm just saying that there's a corner of paleo where that's what paleo is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. I know people who are very intelligent and follow a ketogenic diet who use things like cluster dextrin before training or some sort of carbohydrate supplement. And they have, I know a guy who actually used a blood glucometer to determine his appropriate dose before working out, that he would burn up all of that glucose he produced from his supplement by the time he was done training, so that he could push his body back into a state where it would be ketogenic again and start to produce its own ketones. So the really smart people in the keto community, they know what you're talking about. They agree with what you're talking about. And they're using sophisticated carbohydrate supplements that have specific times of release and delivery to use pre and intra workout for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do the self experimentation to figure out what's going to maximize your performance, go ahead and do that. It's just in this case, there's this ideology around fat adaptation where people just talk about fat adaptation and don't actually understand the biochemistry of what happens. And, you know, I couldn't go into all the science in that Lakers video, but the two videos that came out before it went into great depth of why you can't use ketones to fuel the quick energy that you get from anaerobic glycolysis. This is physiologically impossible. You can keto, there's a thing that's keto adaptation or fat adaptation, but everything about physiology says you can't fat adapt that role of glucose in that context. And you really, there's nothing obvious about that. You need to study the science to understand that. So there's people who really understand the science. But look, I mean, I think what you have in that case is there's a really strong influence about what's natural and what's paleo and what's, you know, what the human body can run on. All, you know, all based on really sound principles of what's nutritious. And look, it's not natural to play pro basketball.
Yeah, good point.
It's not, yeah. You know? And so you have to study this exercise physiology, and you can't just ignore everything known about it because Paleo Man didn't play basketball on carbs. Like, Paleo Man didn't play basketball.
Yeah. Paleo Man didn't wipe his own ass. So, yeah, I know. And it's funny because I had an interesting discussion with Leslie Aiello probably about 10 years ago when she was still with the Wenner Gren Foundation. And we were talking about, because paleo was really becoming popular. I had already had Lauren Cordain on the show a few times. In fact, he introduced me to her. And she said, you know, this idea of eating paleo today is impossible. She said, because food has changed. She said, our paleo ancestors ate an apple that was more like a fiber biscuit that had very little sugar in it, and didn't resemble anything that what apples are today that have been hybridized and selected for their sweetness and their color and their juiciness. And so this notion that we're eating paleo today is really a dream state. It's a fantasy. But why would we want to eat paleo today? Why wouldn't we want to leverage what's good about today and understand what was good about yesterday and bring them together?
So I agree with you, but I have a little bone to pick with that argument. So that's true of an apple, but we didn't evolve in the temperate regions that apples evolved in. If you look at the tropics, you had more access to sugar in more ancient times because of the types of fruits that grew there. I'm not saying that bananas haven't been enriched in sugar. I'm just saying that there were sweet fruits that were not quite as fiber biscuit as the paleo apple in the temperate zone when humans were evolving in equatorial regions. But also, you know, that it's not just true with sugar. Like kale, how paleo is kale? Kale was invented in the Middle Ages through selective breeding. So, and kale's not sugary. So
right.
It's just true that everything has been evolving. And, you know, as humans have evolved to be more intelligent and use tools like selective breeding, humans have massively accelerated our own evolution as well as the evolution of all the plants around us. And who knows? I mean, we probably had a cultural impact on chimpanzees too. I mean, certainly the foods they have access to around human settlements make their life different. So everything's always changing, but I think that, you know, there's different people mean different things by paleo. And to me, what's sensible about paleo is not this idea that we should replicate whatever the paleo foods were, which is impossible. But I think there's this other wing of paleo where you, more in the academic wing especially, where the idea at the core is that we need to study where we came from to understand who we are now and where we're going. And so this idea that much of human disease results in a mismatch from our current environment and what we were evolutionarily adapted for, I think is extremely scientifically sound. And that doesn't necessarily lead you to the content of whatever was described in the first paleo book of what you should eat, but it's a core principle that you can use for continually studying that idea and with, you know, and have a continuing evolution about what it means to take what we know from our ancestors and apply it today.
I want to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want to talk about something that we didn't discuss, but I'm going to throw some dietary templates at you, and I want Dr. Chris Masterjohn's opinion about these dietary templates, the appropriateness for humans. We may touch the third rail, but I don't think you're afraid of that, right?
I'm not afraid of nothing.
Okay, there you go. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Chris Masterjohn. His website, where you'll find his podcast, his blog, and everything that he's digging at the time, is chrismasterjohnphd.com. I just have to remind my listeners, too, I forgot about this. I should have done this at the beginning of the show. We no longer have supremeradio.com. It was actually awarded to my ex-wife by a judge in my divorce, and she decided to take it recently. After 12 years of building equity in that URL, she has taken it, and she wants to lease it back to me for $3,500 a month, so I will not be extorted. So we now have superhumanradio.net. Please spread the word. The website is still up. iTunes is adjusting our RSS feed. We will be back to 100% in another week or so. But the website is now superhumanradio.net, not .com. You're laughing, huh? You're not. Have you been married yet?
No.
Yeah. Don't.
I just got that one.
There's no reason for modern man to get married. All right, so I'm going to throw some dietary templates at you, and I just want you to give me a stream of consciousness. Are they appropriate for humans? Are there upsides, downsides? What do you think? So the first one is the obvious one I'm going to say to you is paleo.
So paleo, like I said before, it means a lot of different things to a lot of people. I think if someone's thinking of paleo as don't eat grains, don't eat legumes, don't eat dairy, and that's the sum of it, then, you know, I think that it can be great for people with food intolerances. I think the biggest drawback is a lot of people aren't getting enough calcium. I think there's a lot of BS in the paleo world about how our diet isn't deficient in calcium because you don't actually need that much, and a lot of people need more than they're getting when they're doing paleo. So I think, you know, you gotta look out, whenever you restrict whole food groups, you increase the risk of micronutrient deficiencies, but paleo is a fairly decent way to restrict food groups because you do wind up eating more vegetables and a greater diversity of different carbohydrate sources if you're not going low carb. And like many non-grain carbs are much more balanced in their nutrition than grains are. So I think it can often be a net benefit. You just got to watch out for certain nutrients, particularly calcium.
Okay. Then all the rage today, the ketogenic diet.
I think keto is not a natural diet for any humans. Like we said before, it, that doesn't matter necessarily if you want to reap the benefits of science that we know today. So I think it's important to recognize it in context that no one, even the Inuit, have ever been shown to be ketogenic on their traditional diets. And so this is a new tool that grew out of the research on how to help people with refractory epilepsy, and it's being broadened in its applications to other things. But I think you want to keep in mind that I would not prescribe it for general health because there's no there's track records of people eating more fat or more carbohydrate in their traditional diets and that being consistent with good health. There's no such track record for keto. And I think that keto, you know, if you're getting, if you have specific goals that justify keto and you're getting benefits from it, then all the more power to you. But I think a lot of people are going out there and just doing keto for general health. And I think that's a little bit cuckoo because you can, you don't need to do an extreme diet like that for general health. So I think it has a lot of promise for neurological disorders. You know, refractory epilepsy is super clear. There's some hints that maybe it's good for Alzheimer's and other neurological disorders like that. There are some anecdotes of people who had chronic brain fog when they got an infection and then keto helped that. I have consulting clients who had serious neurological problems from mold and keto helped them a lot for a period of time. So I'm pretty bullish on its ability to help neurological problems in specific contexts. I'm pretty bearish on most other uses of it. I think maybe it has some place in certain types of cancers, but people are generalizing way too much from that to say that it's a general treatment of cancer, and I don't believe that's true. I think keto can be an effective tool for weight loss, but so can dozens of other things. And so I don't think it's a specific tool for weight loss. And, you know, sports performance, I think people can do well in sports performance if they do it smartly, like the guy you were talking about before. But I wouldn't say that if you take a random sample of people who care about sports performance and you put them all on keto, that you're going to have net average benefit from the ketogenic diet. So
since we're talking about highly restrictive diets, how about the vegan diet?
Vegan diet, I wouldn't recommend anyone in the entire earth go on a vegan diet. And the reason is simple. Now, I'm not saying I would try to get everyone on the entire earth to not eat a vegan diet. I wouldn't. I'm just saying there's not a person on the earth who I would recommend change from a non-vegan diet to a vegan diet. And the reason is that, yes, you can do well on a vegan diet if you happen to win a genetic lottery that allows you to harness all of the nutrients you need from plant foods with no problem, and you have some way of getting B12 by eating dirt or whatever, or taking a supplement.
Right.
But there are a lot of genetic variations in the ability to derive different nutrients from plant foods, and those include especially vitamin A, especially essential fatty acids, especially vitamin B6, and then there are another set of nutrients that are just easier to get with animal foods, and that includes things like zinc, for example, or enough protein or enough of specific amino acids. And so if I were actually talking to someone who wanted to go vegan, I would try to understand what they care about, because I really don't think that there's any value that anyone has that can't be met in a more nutritionally robust way. So for example, let's say someone read the China study and they're convinced that the key to health is to only eat 2% of your diet or less as animal products. So T. Colin Campbell in the China study says, well, if it's 2%, you might as well not eat any of animal products because it's easier.
Right.
Well, actually, if you allot that 2% to clams and oysters twice a month, you're going to be way less likely to get a real serious deficiency of zinc and vitamin B12 just from a couple meals a month, right? So I think if you want to eat an overwhelmingly plant-based diet, there's better ways to do it than veganism that are going to get you the nutrition that you need. If that's your only value, is just eating few animal products, I'd say also throw in a serving of liver a couple times a month.
Mm-hmm.
Four small servings of animal products once a month total. One's liver, one's oysters, one's clams, and then you take your pick. Now, alternatively, maybe someone doesn't want to eat anything that has a face. So the liver's out because most things that have liver have faces. That person can still eat shellfish because shellfish don't have any faces. And
well, what about eggs and dairy? I mean, the Hunza, they're lacto vegetarians. They live to be 130 years old.
Yeah, well,
they milk cows.
Well, look. So, like, eggs and dairy is a great way to get a lot of nutrition in. The thing is, with eggs and dairy, you need to eat a lot of eggs and dairy in order to get that nutrition in, right? So, you can't get adequate nutrition if eggs and dairy are your only animal products. If your goal is also
to keep animal products below 2%.
Okay.
If you want to make eggs and dairy 20% of your diet, then you can get all the nutrition you need from that. But if you care about the welfare of animals, then you should stop eating eggs and dairy before you stop eating meat. I mean, give me a break. Like, you know what they do to the males that come from the mothers of the laying hens? They put them on a conveyor belt into, like, a wood chipping shredder.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
But, like, there's not, like, eggs and dairy is far more inhumane from an animal welfare perspective than meat is. So it would be sensible to do that if that's what your nutritional philosophy is, that you believe that eating no meat and eating 20% of your diet as eggs and dairy is going to get you to a healthy and longevity, then sure, eat eggs and dairy, right? But most people who are coming, at least from my experience, most people who want to be vegan are doing it either for health reasons because of books like by any of these vegans like Dr. Barnard or Dr. Furman or Dr. Campbell. And all of those people are saying they have different cutoff limits, but like Joel Furman says, keep it below 10%. Tico and Campbell says, keep it below 2%. So they're all about low animal products, and you're not going to, none of the major influences in the vegetarian vegan world are saying eat 20 to 30% of your diet as eggs and dairy.
Right.
So I just think that if someone's going to eat super small amounts of animal foods, then they can get a lot of nutrition by just picking from among the most intensively nutrient-dense foods on the planet, and that's liver and certain shellfish, especially oysters and clams.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. I didn't know about the shellfish. I love oysters, and I love clams, raw clams.
Yep.
So that's really good to know.
I'll say on a practical level, you would actually be, because there's a limit to how much you can absorb, it's actually better to divide up those clams into meals. But like if you took one meal's worth of clams and you divided it into six meals during the week, even if you put them all on the weekend, and so you're still only eating like 100 grams of clams once a month, that's pretty much meeting your B12 requirement.
Do you have a diet that you do you have a dietary template that fits the way you eat? Like, are you more of a Mediterranean type diet, or do you just do what you want to do?
Which Mediterranean diet? The one that the American researchers invented, or the one they eat in the
United? No, the one that the Europeans eat, which includes cheese, which is, you know, it's supposed to be bad for you, and red meat and fish and wine and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't actually. My diet's really utilitarian and practical, and I look at it from there are core principles that I believe about nutrition, and then on top of that, I choose what's practical for me and my needs. So a lot of the stuff that I eat right now is all driven around the fact that I'm in the early stage of operating the business, and I can't allot 3 hours of food prep and cooking and eating and cleaning up a day. So, I mean, I get my greens by taking a ready-to-eat box of greens and putting them all on the plate and eating them with my hand pretty much.
Right, half, right.
More than half the time. So I don't follow a particular nutritional template except that I follow a handful of rules. So I think most of your food should be from whole foods, you know, shouldn't be refined junk. I think there are certain food groups that are really important to emphasize. And so I think it's important to eat a lot of vegetables, especially greens, I think play a really important role. Most people need to get a certain amount of protein, and it's just really helpful to have animal products to meet that protein. And, you know, I try to hit those marks. I think fat and carbs are really flexible. I eat more carbs when I'm working out more at high intensity, less when I'm not. I really judge that by whatever I need to feel like I'm not getting a stress response and my sleep is good and everything like that. I judge my calorie intake largely by that. You know, sometimes I care about my body composition, but I care way more about whether I feel good and I'm sleeping. And then, you know, I think organ meats are really important to get into the diet.
Yeah.
And I think bones are really important to get into the diet. But hey, for some people that means taking 15 capsules of liver, you know, freeze-dried liver a day. For other people, it means eating liver once a week in a full serving. And for me, a lot of times it just means, actually, I ran out a few weeks ago and kind of reordered. I got to do that. But my main safe organ meats is to use liverwurst that I just thaw out and eat a little bit each day. And it's got a blend of organ meats that are, you know, super nutritious for me. So there's a handful of principles like that, but I'm otherwise pretty flexible in terms of figuring out what I need at the moment and whatever is helping me eat that.
I'm going to give you a tip. There's a device called a Hot Logic. Have you seen it?
No.
It looks like a lunch pail, but it's actually a slow cooker. And like today, I have a pound of ground beef, mushrooms, Swiss cheese, ginger. I plugged it in when I got into the studio, and right after today's show, I'll open it up, and it'll be full. Everything was frozen when I put it in there. Everything is fully cooked.
I got bones simmering in my Instapot right now. Is it better than that?
Yeah, no, it's not better than that. But it's convenient to take with you. It's convenient to take with you on the go. Plug it in wherever you're going to be and have a meal ready for you.
Yes. Gotcha.
Is there anything else that you want to cover before we sign off?
I don't know, man. I think this was good. You know, I think we ended on a good note, and that's that everyone has different nutritional needs. You've got to be conscious about what you're choosing for your diet, and you've got to constantly reevaluate whether your diet's actually meeting your needs. You know, it's easy, super easy for any of us to get stuck in a rut in our own beliefs and either not even evaluate at all or if something's working for us, but we just read that something is good or something is bad. And then, you know, when we get over that, we can often get ourselves into a rut by thinking outside of the box and then thinking ourselves all the way into a new box. So I think that philosophical point is a pretty good place to end. You know, look at what your diet's doing for you and always be reevaluating what you need, your goals.
The website is chrismasterjohnphd.com. If you go there today, you will actually be smarter tomorrow. Share it with your friends. Chris, thanks so much for being on the show, man.
Yeah, there's a money-back guarantee for that. Anyone who feels dumb tomorrow, just...
There you go. I like a guy who gives money-back guarantees. That's great. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
You know what I charge to go to the website, though?
What's that?
Going to the website's free, though, so don't expect a big check in the
Yeah, there you go. ChrisMasterjohnPhD.com. And that's the end of today's show. We'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.